Rondo. We heard Itzhak Perlman playing the violin with the Philharmonia Orchestra, conducted by Carlo Maria Giulini. What are you working on at the moment, Mike Lee? Play or?
I'm going to do another play at the National Theatre, which we're going to create, which opens in September. And don't ask me what it's about, because I could hardly tell you. We'll find out. It'll be a journey of discovery, as usual. And then we're going to do much what we did with Topsy Turvy, hopefully, if we can get the money together, which we're trying desperately to do, which is to make a major feature about Turner, the painter. And that's as much as I can say about that. But that is the next film scheme.
Well, Mike Lee, thank you for countless hours of pleasure with your writing and your directing, and for sharing your musical private passions with us.
Thank you, Michael. It's been great.
Mike Lee was talking to Michael Barclay. Well, next Sunday at the same time, Michael's guest on Private Passions will be the choreographer Kathy Marston. Private Passions is a classic arts production for Radio 3, and today's edition was produced by Chris Marshall.
They're some of the most prestigious prizes in music. The annual Music Awards of the Royal Philharmonic Society celebrate the music industry's most distinguished practitioners, whether composers, musicians, writers, broadcasters, or inspirational arts organisations. In this week's Sunday concert, Susie Klein will bring you some of the highlights of this year's ceremony at the Dorchester and speak to some of the winners. The RPS Music Awards, in the Sunday concert from 2 o'clock.
Well, that's here on BBC Radio 3. We're on 90 to 93 FM on digital radio and also online. It's a couple of minutes after 1 o'clock. Time for the news with David Cornett.
The head of the International Monetary Fund, Dominique Strauss-Kahn, is due in court in New York later today, charged with attempted rape and unlawful imprisonment. He's accused of attacking a maid in his room at a hotel in Manhattan. His lawyer said Mr. Strauss-Kahn, who's a possible French socialist presidential candidate, would deny all the charges. There's been a series of clashes between Israeli soldiers and Palestinian protesters marking the anniversary of the creation of the State of Israel in 1948. Troops have fired rubber bullets and tear gas at a large crowd marching towards the border in Gaza. At least 15 people are said to have been wounded. There are also reports that shots were fired as Palestinian refugees from Syria tried to breach the Israeli border in the Golan Heights. The head of Britain's armed forces has said NATO must step up the military campaign in Libya. In an interview with the Sunday Telegraph, General Sir David Richards said the country's infrastructure should be targeted to prevent Colonel Gaddafi remaining in power. Essex police say they'll decide this week whether or not to investigate claims that the Liberal Democrat Energy Secretary, Chris Huhne, asked another person to take penalty points on his behalf for a speeding offence. Police confirmed that they'd received a complaint from a Labour MP and said they would examine the case before making a decision. Mr. Huhne denied the claims when they were printed in newspapers last weekend. The Home Secretary, Theresa May, has said she'll reverse the rejection of the process whereby the House of Lords directly elect police commissioners for England and Wales. She blamed the rejection on what she called sheer opportunism from Labour. The Irish Prime Minister, Enda Kenny, has said he's confident that adequate security arrangements have been put in place for the Queen's visit later this week. A 10,000-strong force is being deployed amid threats from dissident Republicans. And the weather, there'll be a brisk westerly wind and outbreaks of mainly light rain, which will affect much of the north and west, especially western Scotland. Southern Britain will stay mainly dry but cloudy. BBC News and Weather at 1:04.
Read by David Cornett. I'm Jill Anderson. Very good afternoon to you. At 4 o'clock, there's another chance to hear Wednesday's Choral Evensong service, which came from the London Festival of Contemporary Church Music at St Pancras Church. We'll hear music by Andrew Simpson, Leon Charles, Gregory Rose, Anthony Pitts and Thomas Hyde. And that's all at 4 o'clock this afternoon. But now it's time for the early music show with Lucy Skeeping.
Welcome to the show and highlights today from two concerts of Baroque music given last summer at the Torroella di Mongri International Music Festival. Originally, this town in the northeast corner of Spain was the royal port for the kings of Aragon. And it still has a distinctly medieval feel with narrow cobble streets, a colonnaded square, and the impressive 14th century Gothic church of San Genis, where many of the concerts take place. The performers we're going to hear are the Italian-based group Accademia Bizantina. They begin with a double concerto by Vivaldi. And rather strange in texture it is too. Well, I think so. Because the two soloists in question are a violin and an organ. So perhaps a slightly uneven match, but a good piece all the same. Particularly the slow second movement, which dispenses with the orchestra altogether, leaving just the organ to accompany the violin. It's back to Tutti, though, for the bouncy allegro, which contains all the sparkle you'd expect from a Vivaldi concerto.
Thank you.
Concerto for Violin and Organ by Vivaldi, performed by violinist Stefano Montanari and organist Ottavio D'Antoni, who also directed Accademia Bizantina. The group is certainly no stranger to the Early Music Show. Founded in 1983, they're very much a cooperative with all the musicians involved in the programming and in the research. They compare themselves to a Byzantine mosaic, D'Antoni says, each instrumentalist being part of the whole design. Later on, we're going to hear them in some Handel, but first, more Vivaldi and a piece that features the gorgeous soprano voice of the French opera singer Sandrine Pillaud. In Furori Justissime Ire is one of many solo cantatas that Vivaldi wrote for the church, traditionally heard in between the psalms at Vespers. There are two contrasting arias linked by a recitative, the first evoking the furore or anger of the title through an agitated tempo, fast downward scales and a series of repeated notes that are kind of punched out as if in rage. In the fury of your most righteous anger, you show your divine power. When you could punish me for my wickedness, my very crime inspires your clemency. A short recitative offers a plea for mercy. O most holy Father, spare me, sorrowing, languishing sinner that I am. And then the second aria gently calls upon Jesus before the final upbeat, Alleluia.
Thank you.
the fury of your most righteous anger, Sandrine Pillaud in a solo cantata by Vivaldi. You're listening to BBC Radio 3's Early Music Show with me, Lucy Skeeping, and a programme of highlights from concerts given last summer in Spain, recorded by our colleagues at the European Broadcasting Union. Well, with one of the group's founder members also being a celebrated organist, naturally their programme featured a major work for the instrument. And for our next music, Ottavio D'Antoni performs one of Handel's finest, his fourth organ concerto, published in London in the mid-1730s. It's one of several he wrote to be played during the intervals when his oratorios were performed in John Rich's newly opened theatre in Covent Garden. And we know that this concerto was heard during the oratorio Athaliah. No doubt the audience enjoyed all the singing, but according to the composer Dr. Arne and a musician friend who were present at the time, it seems the interval music was just as memorable. He opened the organ in such a manner as astonished every hearer, they later told Dr. Burney. Neither of us, nor any of our acquaintance, had ever before heard such extemporising or such premeditated playing on that or any other instrument. So here it is, Handel's Organ Concerto, Opus 4, Number 4. Thank you. Handel's Organ Concerto, Opus 4, Number 4, performed by Ottavio D'Antoni. He's joined again now by the singer Sandrine Piot and his colleagues in Accademia Bizantina for another work by Vivaldi. We're going to hear part of his setting of the Vesper Psalm Laudate Pueri, possibly composed sometime after 1725 for the Dresden court. It's written for an exceptionally agile voice and one with an unusually high range as well, because it goes right up to a top D. This is the last section, Glory Be to the Father. An obbligato flute combines with the voice to create a most ethereal effect, as gentle and calming as the sacred text itself. Then the energy increases into the final Amen, which, rather like the joyful Alleluia that we heard earlier, provides a melismatic and forceful virtuoso end to the work. The wonderfully agile vocals of Sandrine Pio with the Gloria Patri and the Amen. The final part of Vivaldi's Laudate Pueri Dominum. One of the highlights from two concerts given in Spain last summer by Academia Bizantina. Well, the audience who packed into the 13th century church of San Genis called for encores. And for one of the concerts, Sandrine Pio chose to end on a more sombre and thoughtful note with part of an oratorio by Handel, the very last aria, in fact, from Il Trionfo del Tempo e del Disinganno, The Triumph of Time and Disillusion. It's a work that was to be particularly significant for Handel in that it was both his first oratorio, written as a young man in Rome, and his last, since he reworked it in London towards the end of his life when he was virtually blind. The libretto is an allegory about beauty and deception, and this moving aria acts as a final moral. You, chosen ambassador of the skies, shall see no more faithless desire or vain passion in my heart, and if I live ungrateful to God, you, custodian of my heart, carry to him this, my new heart. So here are Sandrine Pio and Academia Bizantina, directed by Ottavio D'Antoni, with the final aria from Handel's very first oratorio. Thank you. You Ambassadors of the Skies, an aria from Handel's first oratorio, The Triumph of Time and Disillusion. The performers all through today's programme were Sandrine Pio and Accademia Byzantina, directed by Ottavio D'Antoni. On next Saturday's Early Music Show, I'm going to be exploring the life and times of Nicolao Jommelli, a composer who played a large part in reforming the opera of the 18th century. So lots of nice music, and I hope you'll join me then.
Lucy Skeeping. If you'd like more details about the music in today's programme, then visit the Radio 3 homepage.
The music Dvorak wrote in America in the Radio 3 lunchtime concert. We head to the Perth Concert Hall from Tuesday this week for four concerts on consecutive days. The Carducci and Navarro quartets, Czech pianist Ivo Kahanek and bass baritone Roderick Williams. All four programmes poignantly contrast Dvorak's music, composed while living in America, with that of his contemporaries and countrymen, Bedřich Smetana, Charles Ives and Samuel Barber. The Radio 3 Lunchtime Concert and the Music of Dvorak. Weekdays from Tuesday to Friday at 1 o'clock on BBC Radio 3.
In this afternoon's Sunday concert, we visit the Royal Philharmonic Society Awards Ceremony, recorded last Tuesday evening, and is presented by Susie Klein.
Hello, and a very warm welcome to the glittering ballroom of London's Dorchester Hotel as the great and the good of classical music gather together for an evening of awards, revelry, bonhomie, and perhaps even a little sip of recession-proof champagne as we prepare to celebrate some of the people who've made the last year of music in this country so outstanding. The Royal Philharmonic Society Awards began in 1989 with the intention of recognising the talents of the many musicians and artistic visionaries who helped make the UK's concert scene buzz with new life. The roster of nominations this evening reads like a veritable who's who of music. Joining me this evening to pass expert comment on the winners, as well as to help take the temperature of Britain's music scene in 2011, Sir John Tusa. We'll also be hearing music this evening from some of the award winners themselves. Two well-known figures will be steering us through proceedings on stage here at the Dorchester, Radio 3 presenters Katie Derham and Andrew McGregor. The awards are going to be handed out by the eminently qualified Imogen Cooper, who joins me now. Lovely to have you here. Thanks very much for speaking to us.
Lovely to be here.
Now, you've won a large handful of awards over your career, including one from the RPS. I think that was in 2008. Mm-hmm. Musicians always say that awards are important to them. Why?
Well, somehow to be singled out and publicly applauded, other than being applauded in a concert hall, for doing something really well. It's like a special pat on the back, and it's like, it really makes you feel extraordinarily special, particularly when you see shortlists and who else is on them and you think, oh my goodness, this person should certainly get it. And then you're told that it's you, and it just makes you feel $1 billion. And of course, if it's in your own country, you're probably surrounded by a huge amount of friends. So it feels like a very special family party where somebody's just saying, she's special.
And what about this evening's awards? Are there any particular highlights, any particular awards that you're specially excited about?
I think it's an incredible year. I think it looks a very, very rich year. Everybody on the list is incredibly gifted, and I shall be thrilled and fascinated to see who is actually going to get the awards. I would just say that, you know, in these times when music is, and the arts are to a certain degree under threat, it is really important to encourage people and to say, you're doing wonderful, go on. We need you. And I think anybody who actually gets the award from any of the shortlists will be entirely deserving.
Imogen, thanks very much indeed. Have a great evening. Now, let's hear from the chairman of the Royal Philharmonic Society, John Gilhooley, who's about to introduce the evening.
Ladies and gentlemen, friends of the Royal Philharmonic Society, good evening and welcome to the Dorchester for this celebration of outstanding music making in 2010. At nearly 200 years of age, one might think that the RPS had earned the right to take things a little bit easy. It's very pleasing to note that recently the vision of our forefathers is still bearing fruit today, and that Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, commissioned by the Society in 1824, is still the most selected work on Desert Island Discs, the choice of 717 guests to date. However, rather than rest on our past glories, the Society's forthcoming bicentenary in 2013 has increased further our desire to make the RPS's truly independent voice heard even louder. Free from commercial imperatives, we are in a unique position to make the case for the future of music and to make it happen. We at the RPS prefer to set the agenda, to develop serious, imaginative projects of real worth to young musicians and composers, and to broaden the understanding and enjoyment of classical music, and to champion excellence. These are projects that don't always grab the headlines, but take a special hold on their participants and on audiences, developing music for today, for 10 years' time, as well into the RPS's third century. Finally, I would like to say a word of thanks to our 65 jurors for their enthusiasm, wide expertise, and the very, very serious way which they undertake their duties. I can tell you that there were some very pretty intense debates. And I'd particularly like to remember at this moment the journalist Lynn Walker, who was a tireless champion of the RPS and chaired the ensemble jury passionately for 5 years. Sadly, she was not able to do that this year. As many of you know, Lynn died in February, and we would like to dedicate the Ensemble Award in her memory. So let the 22nd RPS Music Awards begin. Please welcome BBC Radio 3's Andrew McGregor and Katie Durham, and a recent RPS Music Award winner herself, the much-loved Imogen Cooper, CBE.
Thank you, John. On behalf of BBC Radio 3, we're delighted to be associated with the RPS Music Awards once again.
Let us kick off proceedings, ladies and gentlemen, this evening. We have our first award, which, as you know, is for Ensemble. As John said, it's dedicated to Lynn Walker, and it's given to any group of three or more musicians playing regularly together. It's donated by the Yellow Car Charitable Trust.
And the ensembles who made the shortlist are Aurora Orchestra, City of Birmingham Symphony Orchestra, and the National Youth Orchestra of Great Britain.
From a Brazilian capoeira group to Central St. Martin's College of Art and Design, the range of their artistic collaboration is staggering. They convey joy and freshness at the highest standard of musical excellence, and in just 6 short years, they have carved out a niche in the country's musical life which is unique. The Aurora Orchestra. Please welcome, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage John Hart and Nicholas Collon from the Aurora Orchestra.
Thank you very much. It's an absolute thrill to take this award on behalf of Aurora Orchestra. I've lost count over the last 6 years that we've been going of how many people have come up to me or us and said, you must be crazy starting an orchestra in London in the current climate. What are you doing? I can only say to them tonight with absolute confidence that they are completely right. We are crazy, but we've had the most thrilling time taking this orchestra from absolutely nothing to where it is today. We genuinely believe we have something fresh and exciting to say about the future of classical music, and particularly the chamber orchestra as a vehicle to show that off.
I am.